So we have come again to the temple of Sri Varadaraj Swami. Oh, that only one mic? Again, I suppose for most of us, who's coming for the first time? Quite a few are coming for the first time. Well, don't make it the last time. Varada means who gives a boon, varam. And who can give a boon better than he who is the source of everything? He can give you the whole world. But devotees, they don't want to get the whole world. They just want to have darshan of the Lord's lotus feet. So everyone comes to God with the faith that he can give us something. Everyone asks for something. Some people ask for passing benediction for passing their examinations. Some people ask for a visa to America. Mostly the America visa people go to Visa Ganesh in Chennai. There's a Ganesh temple there called Visa Ganesh. You want an American... Oh, sorry, now they'll all be going to America. We won't see you here again. But if he... Let us consider that if he is the best of givers of benedictions, then what's the best thing we can ask for him, from him? If you go to a very rich man who's in a generous mood, and you ask him for 10 paise, that's not very intelligent. If he's willing to give 10 crores, then why take 10 paise? So, the Lord of everything can give the best benediction, but mostly we don't know what to ask. So here the Lord is standing and giving ashirvadam, and just to give some idea of what we should ask for, then we'll see on his hand the writing. Of course, I can't read Tamil, but I'm told it's written there, Ma Shuchaha, which means, don't worry. Why should we not worry? Everything in the world gives us reason to worry. We're getting born again and again and suffering again and again. All kinds of adhyatmik, adhipotik, adhidaivik, klesh. But if Bhagavan is with us, he's assuring us, don't worry. Now these two words, of course, are from the very famous shlokam of Bhagavad Gita. I think in the Sampradaya Ramanuja Acharya Pad, we're not supposed to say this out loud. But in our Sampradaya, we preach it everywhere. Maybe we could take that in the same spirit that Sri Ramanuja Acharya Pad, when told not to tell the mantra Om Namo Narayanaya to anyone, immediately told it to everyone. So we beg the indulgence of the followers of Sripad Ramanuja Acharya here, and we'll recite the verse, the Charam Shlok, the best shlok of Bhagavad Gita. We can all say it together.
Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishami Ma Shuchaha.
Don't worry, Ma Shuchaha. Give up all varieties of dharma. The Lord who comes for dharma samstharpam, dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He comes to establish dharma. And what is the highest dharma? To give up all upadharma, apadharma, samajik dharma, kritrin dharma, kalpanik dharma. You know all those words? Means kritrim means false. So to give up all social so-called religions and imagined religions and false religions and sub-religions, and upper dharma means opposites, not really religion, and just come to this point, Mame kam sharanam raja, take shelter in me fully. Kaitav dharma. Dharma kaitava prochita atra. Srimad Bhagavatam begins by saying, begins where Bhagavad Gita finishes. Now we're giving up all these, we're kicking that all out. And now we shall discuss Bhagavat tattva, Bhagavat katha. So give up all religion. Well, we say religion is some kind of translation of dharma, but give up all kinds of dharma Just surrender, just take full shelter in me, and I will deliver you from all sinful reactions, and don't fear. So the greatest boon that the Lord is giving is fearlessness. This world is the world of fear. Ajahure Manda Sri Nanda Nandana. O mind, worship Nanda Nandana Krishna, at whose lotus feet we can achieve abhayam, fearlessness. Having achieved this rare human form of life and the opportunity to associate with devotees, we should take the opportunity and worship Hari. This material world is full of fear, danger, and misery.
Abhayam?
Abhayam. Sounds almost the same. Then sometimes it's extremely cold in Tamil Nadu, very much.
Not in country, but
sometimes, or most of the time, it's very hot here. Sometimes there's fearsome wind and rain, just like there may be a cyclone. These are just some examples of the miseries that we are beset with day and night. We spend all our days working hard to satisfy some creeper, durajan, some miserable rascal, just for the sake of some very little and very fleeting, kshanik pleasure. Of course, the priests in the temple here they're not worshipping Durajana, they're worshipping the Sreshtajana, the Lord Bhagavan. Of course, many of them are becoming, or their descendants are becoming IT professionals, and then they're worshipping, or they're serving Durajana. Then, Edhana Jovana, what is this? Wealth, youth, Edhana Jovana, sons, family, what is all this? We think this is our whole life, but it's fleeting. Just like the drop of water on a lotus leaf, it falls, it drops. So that's like that, our life. Therefore, the conclusion is, take shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Hari. How is that to be done? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedam.
Archana, I left out Archana.
So this is the path of fearlessness. So everyone comes to get something
from Bhagavan.
And he's not Kripana Durajana, he's the most magnanimous, so he's prepared to give, but best that we ask for fearlessness at his lotus feet, Abhay Charanaravinda. So we've come, we're expecting something from him, he will give us something. And he says, Ma Suchaha, I will give you fearlessness. But before that, he says, Ma Mekam Sharanam Raja, you first, you give yourself to me, then I'll give you fearlessness. So we think we're getting something from him, but he can give us everything, but we have to give our everything to him, our very self to him. So he may think, wait a minute, I'm getting cheated here. Just like, you know, they'll make some advertisement, you get a free gift. I think, oh, that's very good. And then they say, well, you have to spend 1,000 rupees in our shop, and then we'll give you a free gift worth 3 rupees. So he may think, well, why should I give myself to Bhagavan? Better that I'll remain fearful. Well, that's called Maya. Maya is the consciousness of thinking that that my self-interest is in remaining separate from Bhagavan. Bhayam dvitiya bhiveshita syat ishada petyasya viparyaya smritihi. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, that we are suffering in this world of fear. We are absorbed in an atmosphere of fearfulness because of our unwillingness to surrender to Bhagavan. And therefore our whole consciousness is opposite to what it should be. Now, if we think that by giving myself to Bhagavan, I will be the loser, this is illusion, because anyway we belong to him. It's just an imagination that we can be separate from him. As long as we maintain this imagination, we remain in the world of fearfulness, separate from his Abhay Charan. So this surrender, this taking shelter, Sharanam, that depends on the attitude of taking shelter means we have to surrender. Prapatti, that word is commonly used. So just like we see when we come in the temple, we see in so many temples that there's like some sculpture or bas relief of the devotees bowing down in Ashtanga Dandavat Pranam. This is the attitude of full surrender. If you fully bow yourself down like this, that means you're fully at the mercy of the person you're bowing to. Such a person, if you bow down like that, you can't defend yourself in any way. So if the person wants to harm you, he can very easily do so. So you'll only fully bow yourself down before someone if you have confidence that they are your well-wisher. It also, of course, expresses inferiority, or the consciousness that you are significantly superior to myself. In the Western countries, when they see our devotees bowing down, they think this is something very bad. They think, why should you bow down to anyone? It's just it's very bad. You should make yourself big. In 1968, in Seattle, in the USA, one person objected to Srila Prabhupada, who was preaching there. He said, I don't see why I should bow down to anyone. I'm just saying it's Seattle because we have some devotees who took up their Krishna consciousness there in Seattle. South Indian Brahmins who went to Seattle for IT work and found ISKCON, or Krishna found them, and now they're back in Bharata practicing bhakti. So the objection, I don't see why I should bow down to anyone. And Srila Prabhupada answered very strongly, that is your disease. You don't want to bow down, but you will be forced to bow down. At the time of death, you have to fall down. Of course, you could, if you want to be really defiant, you could string your body up so that even when it dies, it stays standing up. But even though the gross body may still be standing, the subtle body will have to be fall down into hell. Yeah, and from the sthula shariram, even if you don't want that it will fall down, at the time of death, stool will fall down from it. Yeah, it's a pun between Sanskrit and English. The stool will fall from your sthula shariram. So, instead of trying to show I am very great, it is intelligent to admit that I am very small. Anyone who thinks Ishvaraham maham bhogi siddho ham balavan sukhi is, according to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, an asura, a demon. Of course, there's one person, if he thinks like this, he's not an asura. Who is that person? Wait a minute, do I understand all these words? It means anyone who thinks, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect, I am powerful, I am happy in this way. Anyone who thinks like this is a demon. So there's only one person, if he says this, is not a demon. Who is that? Ishvara. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyadananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the Supreme Controller. He is the bhogi, he is the enjoyer of everything. He is perfect, he is powerful, and he is happy. So, dasoham aham bhogi sevak. This is our position. Sevak. I am a servant, and I am a servant of he who is the enjoyer. So this is our constitutional position. That he is the Supreme Enjoyer, and if we act for His pleasure, instead of trying to get pleasure through our senses, if we try to satisfy His senses, that in that way we shall also become happy. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Engaging our senses in the service of the Lord of the senses, that is called bhakti. So by doing that, we achieve all benediction. That is the actual benediction. Anything else is not really a benediction at all. If we come asking for passing the examination, or visa for America, or this and that, the Lord will say, yes, yes, okay, okay, take it. But that's not really His varam. That's not really His boon. That is rather a curse, because that will entangle us more and more in material consciousness. Of course, if we come to Him for getting this, even a material benediction, because He is Krishna, all attractive, our attraction for Him may begin to awaken. So that can be some kind of entrance into bhakti. The arthārthi in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes, one who wants some money or some material thing from Bhagavan, that is a beginning of bhakti. But it's approaching Him and trying to make some kind of business deal. That I need so much money, so I'll offer you this, I'll offer you 100 rupees and you give me a lakh in return. Or sometimes they say, well, I don't have anything now, but you give the benediction and I'll do something afterward. Credit, you'll take it on credit. But the real way to approach Him is to say that actually I'm so foolish, I don't really know what I should ask for, but I'm surrendering to you and you do with me as you like. So this is a philosophical discussion of the need to approach the Lord selflessly. And people may listen and think, sounds interesting. But you know, that American visa sounds a lot more interesting. Bhagavan, well, maybe, but America, we know that for sure is there. So better go for that which is tangible rather than something which is intangible. But actually, this is not simply some pie-in-the-sky philosophy. You know what pie-in-the-sky is? It's in Sanskrit, it's akasha pushpa. No word in Tamil like that? Akasha pushpa. In English, they say a pie in the sky. Not a flower in the sky. Pie. You know what a pie is? It's like a pizza. Pizza in the sky. In Bengali, they say ghore dim, means horse's eggs. In Bengali, they say horse's eggs. Non-existent. Anyway, never mind about that. But Bhagavad Gita, it's not some theoretical philosophy. Arjuna, he was on the chariot and thinking, well, you know, there's another half an hour or so till the fighting begins. Let's have a little chat about philosophy. Now, Arjuna had a serious problem. He was kim kartavya vimurha. He didn't know what he was supposed to do. So Bhagavan gave him practical direction based on, of course, Tattva Jnana. Now, in that instruction, one of the verses he said was Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Paritam Paramottamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartamavyayam. Yeah, you can give the translation. So he says that this pratyaksha, it can be directly perceived, and that by performing seva to Bhagavan, we get sukham. And not just sukham, but susukham. Susukham means ramba sukham. And it also means pure sukham. So it's not just theoretical. Some people have the idea that you torture yourself and you do all kinds of tapasya, and then afterwards you get some kind of happiness. But practically, by chanting Hare Krishna, we're very happy. And practically we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. On and on and on and on, day after day. Often people ask me that, well, how long have you been in this Hare Krishna movement? So now it's 33 years. And then sometimes they ask, well, are you happy? Well, if I wasn't happy, then why should I do it? I mean, no one's forcing me to do it. I could, you know, theoretically, I could go back to England and, you know, get some kind of... It's a bit late to join the IT industry. My brain's a bit, my brain's a bit dead, but I'm sure I could do something. I could go back to being a good Englishman and stop chanting Hare Krishna. Actually, I don't think I could. We're just talking theoretically. But then, why do we go on chanting Hare Krishna? You might think, well, you know, why don't you chant something else? I mean, just the same thing over and over again. But this is Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Abhinadvam Nama Nami Namaha. I'd say it because most of the people don't know. This Nama, Krishna Nama, is Chintamani, Chintamani Nama. That means that whatever we desire, Krishna will fulfill that. Of course, we should have pure desires. This is not just some ordinary sound, but it is Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, which is difficult to translate, but it is the form of consciousness and rasa, well, whatever rasa means. We translate it as mellow. Because the name of Krishna is Krishna, so the name of Krishna, like Krishna, is perfect, complete, pure, and always nitya mukta, means always, it's never touched by tamagun, rajagun, or even sattvagun. This is shuddha sattva. So this is practical, that it's not just some theoretical idea, but now, every day, we are experiencing the happiness of chanting Hare Krishna. Sometimes it's accused that, well, this chanting Hare Krishna, it's just, you know, it's just for simple, stupid people. Well, actually, everyone in this material world is simple and stupid, otherwise we wouldn't be here. But those who are actually intelligent, they consider that what is the purpose of life, and when they get the answer, they chant Hare Krishna. That we can practically experience. We've been chanting Hare Krishna here today, and what bliss there is in chanting Hare Krishna. So it's not just for the materially useless, but even the materially successful, so-called successful people who are successfully serving a Kripana Durajana, they can come to the serving Krishna Bhagavan by chanting his holy names. Most of the day the kirtan was being sung or led by Chitta Hari Prabhu, who I think has gone off somewhere to chant his mala. Here he is coming. So he is also materially successful, you could say. Yet another South Indian Brahmin software professional who, while he was writing his software, was just praying for the day when I can stop writing software and chant Hare Krishna. We have so many here software professionals who are chanting Hare Krishna, who have lived in America and earned lots of money, and some of them are still earning lots of money, but they know that this is all Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talaman. It's just, this life is just like this, so better chant Hare Krishna. So if people have everything that most people aspire for, if they're so-called successful people of this world, and they are chanting Hare Krishna, we should take it somewhat seriously. This Hare Krishna movement is not a religious hobby. It's not just a matter of, you know, having a little altar next to the TV or and when waving a little incense at it. But we ask everyone that you have to lead a pure life. No meat eating, which for most people in the modern age is something unusual. Unless I get my daily ration of blood and flesh, then I don't feel satisfied. So no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and everyone is required to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So it requires much dedication. So why should anyone do that? Well, we do that. There may be various reasons, but one reason is that we find that by serving Krishna, we become happy in a way that is not possible in any other way. Oh, here's another example. Arifadaksh Prabhu has come from Surat. Everyone's come from South India, from various places, but he's come all the way from Sudur, Gujarat. So a few years ago, there's many devotees. He's actually from a very successful and well-known business family. So a few years ago, many of our devotees from Surat were going to Vrindavan during the Kartik month. So I asked him, are you going also? And with a look of great distress on his face, he said, no, my family are insisting that I take them to Singapore on holiday. So everyone's thinking, oh, holiday in Singapore, very good idea. But he's thinking, oh, how unfortunate I am. So these are examples that people who have all opportunity to enjoy this material world, when they find that everything in the whole material world that you could ever imagine enjoying in millions of lifetimes is completely useless. Yeah, then when they get the realization that everything you can imagine to enjoy in the whole material world in millions of lifetimes is all completely useless. And they consider Bhagavan Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, Patrang Pushpang Palang Toyam Yome Bhakta Prayachati Tadahang Bhakti Paharitam Ashnami Prayatamaha. Better than being a king, better than being a software engineer, better than being Brahma or Indra, if I can offer one flower with bhakti to Krishna and he is satisfied, that is millions and millions of times better than being Indra, Chandra, Vaya, any situation in this material world. Of course, the Brahma is also serving Bhagavan, all these devas, they're also serving him. But the point is that no material situation is of any value in comparison to the opportunity to make even a slight service to the Lord. So we find in Shastra, the devotees are praying in various ways to the Lord. May I remember you, may I be the servant of your servants, may I have unflinching devotion to my Guru. These are all this kind of prayer we should offer to the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us to pray, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadi shakamaye, mama janmani janmanishvare bhavata bhaktir ahaituki toyi. Let us pray to the best of the givers of boons, not for anything small or useless, but let us pray for shelter at his lotus feet. Our own most worshipable Gurudev, his Dikshanam from his own Guru was of course Sri Abhay Charanaravinda Das. So let us pray for shelter at Abhay Charanaravinda, means Bhagavan, and at the shelter at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who is giving us Krishna. Only by the mercy of the devotees can we achieve the mercy of the Lord. This principle has been taught again and again by Sripad Ramanujacharya. So we pray, actually we don't pray directly to the Lord, but we pray to his devotees that I'm not fit even to pray directly to the Lord, but you take my prayer, you offer it. So this temple is of course a historical place, a place where there has been so much bhakti over the centuries. So many great devotees have served the Lord in so many ways throughout their lives. So we pray for the mercy of the devotees, that they will kindly shower their mercy upon us so that we can achieve shelter at their lotus feet and at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Any question? Everything's clear.
You know how much centuries old this temple is?
From Kritya Yuga. Not this temple, but the worship is going on since the time of Kritya Yuga, Satya Yuga. Oh, that's from Brahma's Yajna, yeah. The Lord appeared, that's the story. Yes, what's your name?
Varadaraj Das.
Hare Krishna. So we offer our respects to the residents of this holy place who are engaged in the service of the Lord. Anything else? Oh yeah, all right. You announce Mangalarti tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We announced 4:30, but we're changing it to 5 o'clock. Because there's limited bathroom facilities, is one thing. Another thing, not everyone's used to getting up very early. So half an hour difference.